Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 19th of May, recording at 9:23 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, apologies for this gravelly, rasping voice, but I'm a bit hoarse following 2 days of what for me has been a most interesting, illuminating, I should also say, chart seminar workshop. Largely thanks to the very active and interesting contributions by a large number of very motivated Fuller Money subscribers. And for me, it was a memorable experience, and I really enjoyed it. Now, on to the markets here, and I've had enough chance to review events here. And although this is, and because this is Friday, this is the big picture long-term audio outlook, but first I'll have just a quick review of the last week. Well, it's been a bit of a meltdown, and we certainly have had more than a whiff of fear in the air, with some very steep declines. The type 2 trend-ending characteristic is described at the chart seminar, the severe reaction against the prevailing trend. For most stock markets, now today we saw a little bit of a dead cat bounce here, some steadying, a few more indices on the upside than the downside, but no real demand coming into the markets yet, although we are rapidly rather approaching a short-term oversold condition, but that I don't think is going to have much of an influence on the trend for a while. Now, also in the review period here, government bonds, they were very weak beforehand, and as I've discussed before, when you get a shock development, as the stock market reaction, while predictable, is and predicted by many, including this service, is causing a knock-on effect, causing a cascade effect, dragging down all markets that were previously strong, and causing a more muted rebound in some of the markets that were very depressed. And the reason for that, of course, is we're seeing a bit of a flight to cash, much more of a flight to cash than a flight to so-called quality in the government bond markets, because there's suspect quality there, as I've maintained for a very long time, due to the supply coming online and, of course, the inflation pressures, which people are now talking about. And metal prices have certainly been part of that cascade effect, having accelerated on the upside. That's always a trend-ending characteristic of an undetermined length of time, and this was always the risk, that investors in stock markets take fright, and they were the same people who'd been bidding up gold and copper and pretty well everything else, and that we would see a general overall reaction in those markets. And the more overextended they were on the upside, in some instances, the more rapidly they've come back in price. Okay, so that's the review of the week. And where are we in terms of the actual cycle? Well, first, I feel quite strongly, as I've been saying, as I first hinted on last Thursday, a week ago, rather, and have increasingly stated in these audios, I feel quite strongly that the medium-term stock market correction that I had expected for the second and third quarters of this year is really underway. The evidence looks pretty convincing. Here, you don't see it on some of the long-term charts, some of the long-term point-and-figure charts, for instance, for the Dow and the S&P, But you really do have to see quite a bit of damage on some of those indices before that will show up conclusive evidence. But we have certainly seen declines that now are beginning to exceed what people have seen previously on setbacks. And although that's by no means a dramatic difference, and it doesn't cover all of the stock market indices. In other words, some of the declines that we've seen to date are consistent with reactions, small reactions that we have seen for other indices. Some of the declines are, of course, much bigger, over 50% in the Saudi index, for instance, and that decline really started back in last January. But the difference this time, and it's quite an important one, is speed. The speed with which markets have come down, and that is very frightening for investors. In other words, if a market experiences a decline in a week, which is the same size as a decline that might have occurred previously over 4 weeks, you don't need a degree in psychology to appreciate which one of those is going to be more frightening for investors. The rapid decline, of course, creates the fear of a potential meltdown and can and is much more likely to become self-feeding. Now, using terms such as meltdown, let me say first off that I have not been looking for anything more than a medium-term correction, and I've said that a medium-term correction would create what I believed would be an excellent buying opportunity, probably by the fourth quarter of this year, and that we then could quite probably see a very favorable stock market environment for at least a couple of years. Now, that remains to be seen, of course, but that is, I have no reason to change that view at this stage. Now, this medium correction will, for some indices, qualify in the eyes of some observers as a statistical bear market. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it is referred to in the fourth quarter and beyond as a bear market. But I don't expect it to get anywhere near the March 2003 lows or the October 2002 lows. Again, I repeat that. I do not expect this decline to get anywhere near those lows. And one good reason why it won't get anywhere near those lows is, first, I don't think that there's any fundamental development to really cause that to happen. And also, I maintain that central banks would step in and slash interest rates well before we reached anything like that level overall. Central banks will be watching this decline with some surprise and growing concern. So, in other words, they'll share the concern of any investor with a substantial portfolio of equities, because they know that if a stock market sell-off began to get out of hand, that would pose a real threat to economic growth. And central banks, we can be sure, are very anxious to preserve the economic growth that we have. But they also have another agenda, and that is to rein in some of the inflationary pressures that we're actually seeing. And I think they'll actually succeed in that in the short term. But you know my view. I'm an advocate of, I've, or I've been saying for quite some time that central banks had sown the seeds of the next inflationary cycle over a number of years, printing money first because they feared the deflation that people were talking about following the Nasdaq crash. So they were determined to ensure that did not happen a la Japan post 1990. Then they were inflating because they felt they could get away with it because of the disinflationary pressures that were emanating from China and other emerging countries as a result of the very competitive environment for manufactured goods, so many of which are now produced in very low-cost parts of the world, and low costs in terms of wages. And then, of course, we also have the synchronized global economic recovery, which has also exacerbated some of those inflationary pressures. And then, following that long period when commodities had been in such a long bear market, it has been more difficult to increase production than analysts had forecast. So all these factors, as I say, have increased inflationary pressures, which central banks will address, well, sort of. They've raised interest rates, that's part of the process. And then there are certain policy moves designed to reassure investors, such as the appointment of Fed Governor John Cohn to be Ben Bernanke's deputy. Cohn's a very respected figure. And we will also, I think, hear some tough talk regarding inflation. I don't think we'll see much tough action. I think that when push comes to shove, I maintain that any developments that appear likely to kill off the U.S. housing market, for instance, or that would threaten Japan's economic recovery, or China's strong growth, or the European economic recovery, well, you could pretty well name all the countries or add all the countries to this list, that central banks will start cutting rates again and expanding the money supply. They won't do that immediately. They'll watch developments here, but if markets continue to weaken, as well they might, as I actually expect them to do, not as rapidly as we've seen recently. This rapid sell-off will lead to some technical rally and ranging, but I do think then we'll see additional downward pressure for stock markets, which are overdue for that global correction, and commodity markets for a medium-term correction as well, where we've seen particularly strong gains, mainly in the industrial resources and especially the metals, and also in the precious metals. So that's the background that I see, and I actually think that we will see some evidence in the not too distant future that central banks will likely have some modest success on the inflation front as a result of the hikes in interest rates, but particularly because of the corrections that are taking place in various markets. It slows down the, and as investors cash up, this to a certain degree, this slows down the velocity of money and imposes its own monetary tightening. I know people have been worrying about central banks raising interest rates a lot higher. I think that's really, that option has been removed from the table, certainly while stock markets are quite weak. So again, I mentioned that I felt that the bean counters, statisticians, will be able to have a good debate as to whether this is a bear market, a sort of a short, sharp bear market, or just a medium-term correction. And I don't get into the percentage game overall, but I've already stated, and I just repeat this point one more time, that I do not expect the sell-off to get anywhere near those March 2003 lows for any stock market index. And I do expect to see an excellent buying opportunity either late in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter of this year. And the sectors that I will be most interested in buying will be the ones that I already hold and have said that I would be interested in buying. The areas that will continue to appeal to me will be the resources sector. Prices won't always go accelerating up, quite obviously, because no market does. but prices are higher overall than almost any analyst had forecast over the last few years. And this is very good news in terms of the earnings potential for the a number of the well-managed or better-managed companies in the resources industry, despite labor costs, despite shortages, and involving equipment, despite the legislation regarding pollution, and despite a certain amount of expropriation of assets. So I feel that the essential commodity share story, and that is potential for inflation of earnings, that story will still be around for a very, very long time. In other words, which company has the best scope in terms of future earnings? A class diversified mining group, for instance? Or would it be a telecoms company in what is an industry just chock-a-block with competition? Or would it be a manufacturing company that produces consumer goods? And I would argue that the earnings potential, or the potential for inflation of earnings, is greater for the mining companies. I also think that in this environment, any and not just this environment, almost any environment, any emerging market that gets its economic act together will show a vastly superior growth rate to the developed economies. That's obvious. They're starting from a much much lower base. They have the advantage of technology and foreign direct investment. And so they can see their economies grow very, very rapidly as they become cheap and effective production centers. So my other main theme will remain emerging markets, and I particularly like the Asian emerging markets. They won't always be the top performers. They haven't been the top performers, but they have been very, very good performers. But I like them for their long-term growth prospects. I think they're less risky overall than many of the other emerging markets. But some of those themes overlap: resources and emerging markets. Obvious candidates: Canada. Sorry, that's forgive me for the fatigue. Canada is a most developed country. That's certainly strong in the resources theme and a market I like. I meant to say Brazil, South Africa. There you have emerging markets and also the resources theme. Thailand falls into that category as well. So does Indonesia. And I also like the developed country resources producers: Canada, Australia, the two main examples there. And I also like developed Asia, and there we have Japan, Singapore, South Korea. But I particularly like emerging Asia, and India remains my very favorite stock market for the long term, but India is likely to be a high beta, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a fairly significant correction in India, creating another wonderful buying opportunity. I look forward to that buying opportunity. I don't think we're quite there yet, but we're certainly moving in the right direction, and I intend to take full advantage of that buying opportunity. But right now, currently, we have to be prepared for further weakness across the boards in these markets over the next few weeks and months, and that will be frightening from time to time. And that again, but as I say, will create that excellent buying opportunity. Government bonds, I've maintained throughout that these were in a secular bear market, and that I didn't think they'd see much upside until we saw a significant stock market correction. We've begun that correction, and all the bond markets have steadied up and are in technical rally phases. I'm sure I've been stopped out of my 30-year U.S. Treasury bonds at a profit. Again, I was running relatively tight stops there. So, viewing them as being the government bonds, long-dated government bonds, as being a secular bear market, I have no interest in buying, although the fundamentals will improve temporarily, as I think those inflationary pressures, they may be around, or the inflationary figures may be with us for a little longer in the short term, but then I think they'll fade into the background only to re-emerge again later on. So I'm saying that I think we will see the central banks have a little bit of success due to their interest rate policies, and particularly due to the corrections that are now taking place in these markets. I'm not going to buy government bonds for that technical rally, but I'd be delighted to see a reasonable rally, which would create another short selling opportunity that I would wish to participate in. As far as the resources sector is concerned, I think that some of these sell-offs will be fairly significant, but again, no more than medium-term corrections. And these will probably overshoot because of just short-term fear and because of some of the upward accelerations that we had seen. So volatility is temporarily still on the increase. And while gold bullion, for instance, and I'm certainly am interested in that and will remain so for years, but gold in after hours here down another 24, nearly $25 at 657. Now I was hoping that this might come back down to about the 650 level, and there is that is an area of initial technical support, but I'm going to be a little cautious at this stage because I think, given the big move on the upside and what I've just said, I think we could see a number of these trends overshoot temporarily on the downside. But there's little doubt in my mind that somewhere between the 650 level, if we see it, and I think we probably will, and say 600 on the gold, I will certainly commence some baby steps nibbling, and ditto with silver if it's getting a similar move. In the meantime, I overstayed my welcome with a late purchase in the Palladium. I will probably ride that out because it's not that big a position in the September contract, and I came in too late in the cycle on my lead, which had a bad day in here today, but I'll probably hold on to that as well. I think we'll see some quite sharp sell-offs, and then we may quite likely see some rebounds that are also quite strong. The demand, the industrial demand for these resources, I believe will remain very strong. The speculative demand has dried up temporarily, actually has turned into supply. In other words, the investment and speculative buying in many of these industrial resources and precious metals will give way to a speculative. A reduction in those long positions as some of the short-term money comes out, just the way I sold my gold futures. Other people are doing the same thing. Now, again, in talking about gold coming down further, I trade the futures because there are a lot of attractive vehicles for dealing in the gold market these days. And I like the futures, and because I have been so bullish of gold and remain so over the long term, that I like to leverage the position up from time to time, as I did until recently. But I have said previously, and it's a point I really do want to repeat, that if we didn't have the gold futures, then an investment in one of the gold bullion funds would be a core position in my portfolio. And if I had gold on an unleveraged basis as a core position in my portfolio, it would be among the least of my concerns. I do expect gold's price to rise by a multiple of today's price over the longer term. And so there's certainly no diminution in my bullishness for this market. And my interest is increasing as I see the price pull back here a bit. And because I have run those futures positions from time to time, that's trading, and the trading positions have to be monitored quite closely because of the leverage. And I'm interested in the trading because of that leverage, but I will go completely out of the market from time to time, as I have done, looking for that next buying opportunity in what is a long-term secular uptrend. So again, to repeat that point, if I held money in a gold bullion fund, I would treat this just as a very brief correction, lasting for a few months at most, in a market that I think has outstanding long-term bull potential still. And you know, this is a view I've had for a number of years, and I see no reason to change that view. And if you want reassurance, given some of the commodity articles that are flying around, just have a look at that inflation-adjusted price of gold chart that's in the library, that long-term chart going back to 75. Okay. Now, what else to mention here? I may have pretty well covered it in terms of the energy markets. Oil, again, I regard that outlook as being extremely bullish over the longer term. So that's pretty much it. Expect more scary down days in the markets, punctuated by a few technical rallies. We may commence a modest technical rally next week, although I wouldn't count on that, and I only say that because after a very sharp fall, it wouldn't be surprising to see markets take a little bit of a breather on the upside. But I expect all stock markets to move lower over the next few weeks, getting closer to that next good buying opportunity. And ditto on the in metals markets as well, where they had become so overextended on the upside. And folks, it's been an interesting week. I'm sure you're looking forward to the weekend, and I am as well. All the best. Be back on Monday.